I'm Adam, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's awesome to be here with you this morning. They let me play drums, and it's a lot of fun. I'm a self-proclaimed drummer, but I really enjoy that. So if you saw me grinning ear to ear with a Kool-Aid smile, that's why. So this morning, we got a lot to cover. You ready? We got a lot to cover. We got a lot of things going on. We got a lot of moving pieces. And I got to go pick up my kids that have been gone for a week. So I'm going to draw this out for like 4 hours so we don't have to go pick them up. You're welcome. You're welcome. We are in a teaching series in the book of
Colossians.
How many of you have read Colossians? How many of you continue to read it as we're in this series? It's only 4 chapters. I think you guys can do better than that. I should see more hands. So, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open them to Colossians 1. Can you do that? If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles out on the table. If you don't have a Bible at all, or just need a Bible today, we have Bibles out on the table, and we want to just give you one. You don't have to give it back. You can take it home and add it to the collection of Bibles you have there, which is probably 6 or 7, right? Or hopefully none. I mean, that would be really cool. Or if you're too cool for a paper Bible, which most of us are, there's a couple apps you can download. If Craig Johnson, raise that up. If you know anything about Craig Johnson, you know he is the most tech-savvy person you've ever met. Mr. IT, which is a complete lie. Technology in his hands. I don't know how he destroys his machines and does what he does to them, but if he can download an app, so can you. So if you have a smartphone, you can download Bible Gateway, which is a good Bible app, or YouVersion, and it just has tons of Bibles in there. You can read it anywhere you go. You can take it with you everywhere you go and have the Word of God. Sound good? Let me say this. I haven't said it in a long time. If you're not reading consistently, you're starving yourself to death spiritually. You understand that? So we're going to dive in. Colossians is written by a man named Paul to a church named Colossians. It's the church in Colossae, right? And Paul's writing this church to this church, but Paul is in prison currently. And he opens this letter, which I find interesting. It says this in Colossians 1, 24 through 25. Paul says this odd statement. He said, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in jail and not you. And I'm guessing these readers are like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Paul, that's good. We are too. You can just be there. He said, there's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world. The kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift. God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. We kind of touched on this even last week when we talked about joy and happiness, right? Like there's a suffering that comes with our faith, and there's a suffering that comes with our serving. There's a suffering that is a part of following Jesus, and it's a part that we never want to acknowledge. We always just say, well, bad things shouldn't happen to me because I know Jesus, right? Have you read the Bible? Have you read Scripture? So what present suffering are you going through right now? Think of that in your mind. Think of that in your mind. And some of our suffering is self-imposed, right? We do some really dumb things. In my LTG, we were talking about that last night. I can't remember the word my buddy used. It was turd of a follower. We are turds when it comes to following Jesus. Like we're pretty bad at it. We don't have it all together. We continue to stumble. We continue to fail. We continue to. And some of that we want to look at and say, oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. The affair you had on your wife is not you suffering for Jesus. Okay? The drugs you injected into your vein or into your nostrils or into your lungs is not you suffering for Jesus. Jesus can be found in those things and can work and move in those things, but that's not the kind of suffering we're talking about, right? Paul was actually in prison, and the reason he was in prison was because he was proclaiming the name of Jesus. He was actually suffering for Jesus. He was a part of this religious group prior to this imprisonment. He was a part of this religious group that really hated the name of Jesus, and he worked hard to put those people in jail and to put those people in prison. And then all of a sudden he had this massive heart change. God shook him up, and then all of a sudden he became a Jesus lover and on the Jesus side of things. And so the very people that he would lock up and the very people that he would persecute, he is now one of those people writing this letter. And he's counting it as suffering for God and Jesus. Have we ever experienced suffering in our faith in America?
Not much.
Not much, right? Like, it's amazing when we can meet in Bible studies in our homes, and then I think of, like, the churches in China or other foreign countries where they're actually hiding from police busting down their doors. But for us, you know, suffering is when we have to endure some atheist on campus speaking through a bullhorn, right? Or if someone says, you can't talk about God here, or whatever the case may be. We don't really find much suffering or imprisonment for the case of Jesus here. It is interesting, though, we do have some news articles. I remember there was this man that I read about probably last year. He kept getting arrested because he was feeding the homeless people in his city. He was feeding homeless people. And the city said, we have laws against that. And he said, I don't care. I'm going to feed these homeless people. I'm going to feed the hungry. That, to me, sounds like suffering for Jesus, does it not? That sounds like suffering for Jesus. That sounds like doing what Jesus said. So Paul goes on. And I love how he says, laying out the whole truth. Because suffering is a part of this Jesus followership. The issue is not merely to serve Christ, right? Like, we serve Jesus, we come to church, we might give a little bit of money, we go to a Bible study, we serve Christ, but it's to actually serve like Christ. How did Christ serve? What did Jesus do? Who did Jesus hang out with? Jesus hung out with prostitutes? Not for their services, okay? Jesus hung out with prostitutes, Jesus hung out with tax collectors, Jesus hung out with the scum of the world. Regularly, on a regular basis, Jesus went to parties and hung out with his people. And he served them. Jesus served these ragtag group of followers that he had, his disciples, and he did crazy things like wash their filthy, dirty, croc-wearing feet. You guys, who wears crocs here? Get out. I'm just kidding. But he washes their feet and he serves them. And they had a hard time with this service because, man, this was Jesus. This was the guy they were following. This was the master. And he says, if I don't do this for you, one of them actually contested and said, no, you're not even going to do that for me. And he said, if I don't, you have no part in me. And Jesus gets down on the ground and he starts washing feet of his disciples. And all the while, he's teaching us how to be with one another in community. Right? We serve like Christ. This fashions a different kind of servant leadership, a leadership that's characterized by setting aside any interest in social standing or political power and submitting ourselves to others, the community, not just here, but the community in Laramie, in order to share in their burdens. Who likes to do that? Do you like sharing in other people's burdens? Oh my goodness, we've got to go back to square one. You can answer.
No.
Is it a little chaotic?
Yes.
Sometimes people's burdens get us a little messy and burden us, right? But that's what Paul is calling to us. Calling us to. Is that we become and we actually serve like Jesus. Not just serve Jesus, but serve like Jesus in this community. Not just Laramie, not just Whitewater. Make no mistake, it's this community, huge community, okay? He goes on to say in verse 26 through 29, he says this, the mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, hear this again, God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message we preach. Christ warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Sounds a little backwards from our weighty, lofty educational system that we have here in Laramie, right? Being basic. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at, day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so graciously gives me. You see, Paul's battling then in the Church of Colossae what we battle today, right? He's talking about it's not just for Jews. It's for this message, this service, this good news that we have is for
everybody.
We still battle to promote the rights or even the salvation of one group over against another. That still happens today, right? Whether it's gender or sexual orientation, rather than faith in Jesus, Christ has come to determine the believer's status within a congregation. Against a masculine God, then a feminine God is promoted by some, while others, Christian faith is defined or denied by sexual orientation. In the recent political, In this political system, we err on the side of, well, not all of us. Let me not paint with a huge broad brush. Okay? There are some of us that believe that if you don't vote Republican, you're not a Jesus fan or follower, right? We tend to make this Jesus-Republican thing synonymous when it's actually not. We try to bring it in, we try to change the game, we try to change what it's about. But Paul would have no part of any of those divisive debates, which is amazing, except to remind all believers that in Jesus Christ, many different people have one faith in common. Now, you may be sitting in your seats, and some of you may be bristling. What does he mean? What does he say? I'm saying Jesus is after every single person in this room today. I'm saying Jesus is after every single person in Laramie today. I'm saying Jesus is after every single person, and he wants to do it through me, your pastor. Not you guys. You guys are off the hook. No, he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it as you serve Christ and serve like Christ. He wants to do it through us. Together as the community. And we want to complicate it, and we want to put hoops in front of people, and we want to say, you can know Jesus if we say you can. Early on in this ministry, we had a couple named Terry and Ray. And Terry and Ray were two lesbian women. And the way I describe them is they were lesbian before lesbian was cool. Because when we met them, they had been together 30 years. 30 years. They met our teaching pastor at the time, Chad, in Perkins. And Chad overheard them talking, and they got to talking, and they started talking together, and they found out that Terry and Ray needed to make a move of their house. This moving ministry isn't anything new, okay, that we do here. And Chad said, we would love to come and move you if you denounce your lesbianism. No, he didn't say that. Chad said, we would love to come and move you and your household, and that was enough door that they said, We want to know what's up with your church. What do you guys do? What do you guys believe? What do you guys think? Well, you know what? Why don't you come? That's the best way for you to understand what we do. Why don't you come? Why don't you get into community with us? Why don't you be in community with us? And I would love to say that this was all my idea and this was my excitement about Terry and Ray coming and being a part. And it wasn't. And it's actually to my discredit, to my shame. I was young in the ministry when I moved here. I was 28 years old, and we met them around that time. Well, all of a sudden, God started moving in I think it was Ray, or no, Terry. Started moving in Terry's heart first and foremost. And Terry said, this Jesus that I'm hearing about, this life that I'm seeing displayed here, the way you guys serve and love people, man, this Jesus is real. And then the next question that usually follows is, well, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Right? Now, what we found here is the best way to actually have that discussion is to point people to the scriptures that actually speak to homosexuality within scripture. There are those in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're there. And we gave them a list and we said, why don't you go read these? And why don't you come back to us and we'll talk. And they read them. And they came back, and I said, so what did you think? And they said, we think it's just about men. Men can't be homosexuals. And I said, really? They said, no. But what we did is we continued to live life. And Terry has this real view of who God is. And then all of a sudden, Terry says, I need to give my life to Jesus. And this is where my discredit comes in. I was conflicted. I started to go to war within myself and say, over my dead body, I'm not seeing any change in your life. Right? Has anybody been there? Has anybody had the same experience I've had? I'm not seeing any change in your life. And you know what? Maybe we would baptize you if you guys got separate households. This is the conversation I'm having in my head and in my spirit and in my heart. And this is as Chad was bringing me this information and saying, Terry wants to give her life to Jesus. And I started complicating it. I started putting these roadblocks down. I started saying, if. And scripture goes back to Christ. No more. No less. And the Holy Spirit put me in check really hard and said, hey, who are you to stand in the way of my movement? Man, if I was a dog, my tail was tucked. And I was cowering at that moment because I realized that I had become this person that said, Jews only. This message isn't for everybody. It's just for me and those that I approve. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? That's pretty sick. That's pretty deep-rooted. And all I needed to do was go back to the simplicity of Jesus. All I needed to go back to is Christ. Let him work these things out in people's hearts. Let him be that. Let him be that judge. Let him be that person who moves these people along. I've done my part. We've served together. They want to be in community here together. They want to love people together. And then what happened was Terry was baptized, and then Ray, her partner, was baptized months later. God was doing something for me in these people's worlds. And if I would have said no, I think their life would look drastically different. I would be another check mark of churches that just don't get it. I'd be that negative experience. I'd be that unloving person standing in the way of Jesus. It's amazing. He goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians. Where are we? Colossians, thank you. That's right here. He goes on to say this in the second chapter. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you. And also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you met me face to face. This is, again, he's writing letters, and they haven't to our knowledge, he has never visited this church in Colossae. But that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. I want you woven into the tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Here we go, it's like in the back, to Christ only. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ. He brings it back again. God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after so-called mysteries or the secret. He closes it up by saying, I'm a long way off. True. And you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. Simply put, spirituality in a nutshell for him is knowing, results from knowing Jesus. No more. Some of us come here with answers, and some of us have come here just kind of circling Jesus. And we think if we just know a little bit more, if we just have it a little bit, just a little bit more, then we'll say yes to Jesus, even though we've seen so much already.
Yeah.
If I just had this answer, or this question answered, and you're chasing the wrong thing, just chase Jesus. Just look at Jesus. Look at the life Jesus lived. Adam, how do I do that? Well, you gotta read, right? You gotta read. Who is Jesus? Who is God? How do we find that out? God can give you supernatural knowledge through His Holy Spirit. He can. And He can answer your questions. He can. But for us to know God and the heart of God, we've got to really start reading Scripture. And it was awesome in my LTG last night, we were talking, and we started reading through the Old Testament. And my buddy is much like myself, and he said, when we started reading, I was having a real issue with the Old Testament. Because God looks like a jerk, right? Who would follow that guy? Vindictive, mean, terrible, hurts people, kills people. Kills people. Children. And he got to a point and he just said, well, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't read this anymore. I'm done with this. And so you're going to have to help me or I'm just out. And what was amazing is we were supposed to read through Exodus. Genesis. I said, so how'd you do with the reading? He said, I'm Joshua. What? I'm not supposed to read ahead. And what happened was God did something within him. God gave him a knowledge of who he was. Not just mean, vindictive. And there's things that he doesn't agree with, and there's things that I don't agree with, and there's things that I don't understand and make sense. Hit Leviticus and read Levitical law. You're going to be like, this is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This is crazy. But what God does is He shows us and He reveals, and all of a sudden you don't see this vindictive God because He's not. What you see is this God chasing after humanity time and time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament and spills into the New, and then Jesus hits the scene, and the reason for Jesus is because we suck. Plain and simple. We don't get it. So God says, all right, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to put an end to this once and for all. I'm going to come down and I'm going to be this sacrifice for you. I'm going to be this way for you. I'm going to show you how this is done. I'm going to show you how this plays out. I'm going to show you how to serve like I asked you to serve. How to be like I asked you to be. It's Christ, no more, no less. So if you understand that this morning, if you understand this small piece, this basic way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, no more, no less. And you've done nothing with that up until this point. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you understand Jesus, and if you understand this small, basic way of belief, and you've actually done something about it in your world, and you may have said, and had a conversation with God and the Holy Spirit and said, yeah, this is what I need to be doing. This is how I need to be serving. I need to serve Jesus, and I need to serve like Jesus. And you find yourself just sitting at the starting line with nowhere to go. You're having a hard time. Starting gun's already hit. It's ready. It's time. You're just revving your engine. What do you do? If you understand this principle at all, what do you do? Some of you today, it needs to say yes to Jesus. You need to take this small, basic faith, just going back to the basics, and say yes to Jesus. You need to have a conversation with Him. Usually that entails a brokenness at some level. Scripture says God's kindness leads us to repentance. And repentance is the garbage that we carry around within us, the things that don't look like Jesus, the things that don't look like obedience, the things that don't mirror Christ, no more, no less. And we give those things up and we say, Jesus, I'm done with that life. This is no longer me. And Scripture talks about you becoming a new creation. You're not meant to have this conversation with God and go nowhere with it, right? You're meant to move forward, and you're meant to move persistently 2 steps closer to Jesus all the time, day in, day out. Make that commitment. Have that conversation with God. Right now. Right now. Have that conversation. You can talk while I'm talking. It's fine. And then in Scripture, we see this follow-up of this. This life proclaimed, this repentance, this conversation that you've had with God, and this real moment that you've had with Christ, no more, no less, going back to the basics. And you see the act of baptism, which is, it sounds crazy, but it's been practiced for a long time, and Jesus was actually baptized, right? So Jesus is crazy. Jesus had probably a cooler place to be baptized in, like a river or a lake, but we do it in a horse tank. And what that signifies is that's almost like a seal or your brand saying, you know what, God, I'm with you, I'm with Jesus. And you go into the water, which represents death. You're dead to yourself. You're done doing it your way, and you're going to go to Christ, this basic, no more, no less way of life. And then you come out of the water, which represents you raising from the dead, because that's what Jesus did for you through His death on the cross and His resurrection 2 days later. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit at that time can actually does enter. There's other ways as well, but that's one of the ways, all right? I'm not going to go into the weeds on it. That was probably too much of the weeds for you. All right? I'll just edit that out in post. So you have this baptism, and then again, it doesn't stop at this at that. That's what I thought when I was a kid when I gave my life to Jesus. Is that okay? I'm good. And Jesus says, "Well, if you say you want to serve me, now you need to serve like me. You need to serve the community around you. You need to get out of yourself and see others." I taught a teaching that talked about my uncle Tim when he died, and one of the phrases that was used at his funeral was, Tim was notorious for saying, if you are in front of me, you are going to be loved. I don't care who you are. You'll just be loved. Because I have no other option, because that's Christ. No more, no less. And it plays out in you, in your circles, in your kingdom life. Here in this community, here in the community of Laramie, here in the community of believers and other churches that we have in this area. get back to basics, folks. Christ, no more, no less. Help us understand this, God. Give us wisdom that we don't have now. Help clear up any confusion that may have been taught right now. Filter the things out that don't belong and just have you at the core of it. May they see you clearly. May we see you clearly. God, move us beyond where we're at now. Move us beyond our judgment. Move us beyond the roadblocks that we put in any different situation with any different kind of people that we meet every day. God, remove the need for that and just go back to the basics of how Jesus told us to live. How Jesus told us to live. How Jesus told us to love. It's in your name we pray, and everybody say, amen.